To back up to 1 Kings this morning, but I want to start with the scripture from Paul, and the sermon title is "You Are the Holy Spirit's Home." And I want you to think about the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about worship. I want you to think about the Old Testament church and where they worship in the temple, what that looked like, and then you figure out that we're the Spirit's home today. So keep all these thoughts going in your mind as I read scripture to you. And of course, we get into the message, we'll start to unpack all that, and you'll get to see what that looks like, all right? Let's begin at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, just one verse. Then we're going to flip to chapter 6. "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst?" And then also verse 6, or chapter 6. Notice the subtitle to this set of verses is called "Sexual Immorality." And so we're going to address that just a little bit here this morning, beginning at verse 15 then through 20. "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said that two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." And let's turn to the book of 1 Kings. Way to the first part of the Old Testament. About page 530 or so in your Bible, or close to that. And we're just going to read two verses there. And now this is going to just be a little bit of a snippet of temple worship. And there's a lot more going on here, but this is all I'm going to give you for today. All right, a couple things. Pay attention to what goes on here in the temple. Everybody there with me? Yeah, okay. "When the priests withdrew from the holy place," and let me stop there for a moment, that would be the most inner part of the temple, the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God would have been and is, okay? "So the priests withdrew from the holy place. The cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled his temple." All right? A reading of the word of the Lord this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather here in your name this morning and we've read from your scripture, Lord, may your words be speak truth to us this morning. Lord, I also pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit wash over us. Lord, I pray for the believer, Lord, even the unbeliever that's within our midst or that's online watching here today. Lord, may you open our hearts, our souls, and minds to receive and to learn from your teaching today. Lord, I pray that these words are yours and never mine. And I pray, Lord, that that same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead fills me this morning as I bring your message to your people. In Jesus I pray, amen. How many of you ever seen the movie Forrest Gump before? How many remember the famous phrase in there, "Stupid is, stupid does"? Remember that? Yeah, so I want to change that phrase just a little bit this morning, and I'm going to change it to "Temple is, as temple does." You get it? You with me? All right, follow along with me this morning because I'm speaking to you as the temple of Christ. Temple is as temple does. Now, that phrase will come back around as we look at 1 Corinthians 3:16. The Apostle Paul is speaking to a group of people who are they're struggling in their faith. In fact, 1 and 2 Corinthians deal a lot with Paul and the Corinthian church, and they're just struggling. They're new Christians. In fact, Paul says, you're infants in Christ. You're trying to figure out what this new church thing's about in your life. You know, they're used to their old Jewish ways of worship, and things have changed quite a bit now that Jesus is with God the Almighty in heaven. And, of course, the apostles are there, and Paul's on the scene now, and he's writing to the Corinthian church. And so he also proclaims that as we enter into Christianity, as you and I give our life to Christ as believers, we come in as infants, not knowing much yet. and not fully understanding everything that we are to be in the faith of Jesus Christ. But as we grow, we mature in our faith. And so that's what we're going to speak about this morning. Because I've learned, and I can talk to a lot of you that are older than me, that as you learn, it takes a lifetime to understand your Christian faith, and you grow deeper and deeper in your faith as you get older. Would you agree with me about that this morning? Most definitely. Some of you, and me too, we've come a long way since Sunday school, haven't we? In first and second grade, and we learned about Noah's Ark and all that. Now we start to learn about the meat of Scripture and what that looks like for you and I in our faith journey. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. We do not change overnight. We grow gradually in our faith. And so this is what Paul's trying to tell these Corinthians. He's teaching them new things, meat of what your faith should look like. And so he mentions to the Corinthian Christians that there's issues amongst you. You're jealous of each other. You're arguing over who baptized you as if someone was a better baptizer than someone else. He goes, that's not an issue at all. The issue is that you should be thankful that you're baptized, and now your focus should be growing in Christ. Understanding the faith is what he wants them to realize. Not so much about who baptized you, but what God's doing through that baptism. And we can look at infant baptism or believer's baptism, whatever you decide or wherever your background is. But for most of us, it's infant baptism. Our parents baptize us if we're part of the Reformed Church, but not all of us. Some of us might be baptized as adults as well. But here's what he wants us to take a look at. How many of you ever had baby food before? Right? How does it taste? Bland, right? Not much to it. You don't really care to eat a lot of it, but it sustains your baby and it gives them what they need. Now, I want you to think about your spiritual life. As you grow in the faith, how many of you love just a good steak and a baked potato? Sour cream, salt and pepper on top, and butter in there. Right, that's good eating. But that's solid food, and for you and I as we grow in our faith, we need that type of solid food to sustain us. Especially in our spiritual lives, we look at that. And so we need to move from baby food to solid food in our lives, is what Paul's telling us this morning. And so we need to work together to build up our faith and those around us. We need to move from being a seed, and a lot of us are, you know, we're gardeners or farmers, and think about a tree, for example. It starts out as a seed, but it grows into this huge tree. It's got a big base on it, a deep root system, and beautiful leaves and branches, and that's what we should look like in our Christian faith. As we continue to grow, we mature in our faith. Now, it is in these verses where Paul is speaking to Christians in Corinth that in building terms, and then he inserts 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 in the midst of all his teaching here to the people, which is the focus of what we're going to learn today. And this is what he says. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? In you. Now, it's a pretty simple verse, isn't it? Now, we might think, well, I get it. It communicates what that means, and I understand that. But I want to go a little deeper with you this morning. And so here comes back the phrase, temple is as temple does in your life. That's what I want to focus about this morning with you here today. And so the Apostle Paul, he's speaking to these Corinthian believers about their faith, growing in their faith. And then he asks them a question which has great theological truth and depth to it. And it's a very simple question. And he says this, and if you have your Bible open with me, you can look at 1 Corinthians 3:16, or you can look at it on the screen as well. Pete, he starts off with this, don't you know? Right? Is what he says to you and I. Don't you know? So let me put that in other terms for you to understand in your faith journey that will help us understand this. It supports our Christian life. He more or less says, you should know. You should understand. You should perceive. You should learn. You should remember. And this is what Paul is going to say. It's a permanent way that we think about ourselves as we relate to the Almighty God. It's something that you and I need to take in. I think we got a grasp of it, but this morning I want to lay a little firmer foundation for you and I in our faith walk of what that should look like and what that should be in our lives. That's where I want to go a little bit deeper with you this morning to give you a deeper understanding. And a lot of you are probably thinking, well, God, I got a lot of questions. What am I supposed to know? What am I supposed to understand? What am I supposed to perceive? What am I supposed to learn? What am I supposed to remember? And then he says, don't you know? Don't you know? And there's two truths that I'm going to give you this morning about those questions that you have in your mind right now. And here's the first one that I'm going to give you. You are God's temple. We're going to learn about what that temple looks like in our life. So what does that phrase mean exactly? The first word Paul uses is the phrase is you. And that is a plural you. He's speaking to the church, the believers, the Corinthian church. But he's also speaking to the individual that's sitting in the church. And he also speaks to you and I this morning in these verses. Now, if you're following along with me in Scripture, we're going to jump to chapter 6, verse 15 in 1 Corinthians. He says the same thing. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? You see, when you give your life to Christ, both your body and your spirit belong to Jesus Christ. You are no longer your own. Even though you get to fight that fight every day in your life, which we call in the flesh, but your spirit and your body belong to God. And what you do with your body matters to God. Let that sink in just a little bit. And then look at the second half of verse 15 with me. Then it says this, shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? I mean, that's pretty bold for what he's saying, right? So obviously this is going on in society that they're not living the way they're supposed to be. There's some sexual immorality that has creeped into the church and people are sleeping with other people and they're probably outside of the bonds of marriage and whatever that might look like, he's addressing that to their situation in their day, their culture. And of course, he comes back with never, with a big exclamation mark on it. Never should we go there with our bodies. And Paul is saying, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, there is no room for sexual immorality in your life. Now, here's a question I have for you this morning. With the world that you and I live in, can you define sexual immorality for me today? What does that look like? Because we live in a country, in a nation, that we are in the midst of a sexual revolution of all kinds of things going on. And I got a few of them that I'm going to mention here in just a little bit. But Paul's talking about a physical relationship here outside of the bonds of marriage when he talks about the body. What you do with the body matters, right? In the way that you act and the things that you do. And then specifically he addresses sexual immorality because it must have been a problem in the Corinthian church back then. And so let me just address this today. And by no means do I leave a group out, by the way. Because they all fall into the same thing. So don't leave here saying, well, Rob, you're picking on a certain people group. No, that's not it at all. I want to point out to you and I that when Paul says, and you cross this line as a believer, that's not a good thing. So let me just roll a few past you this morning. Sexual immorality is anything outside the bonds of marriage that goes against the teachings of Scripture. Pretty broad definition. But let me just put a few things in there. Living together before marriage would be one. Pornography would be one. Having friends with benefits would be one. I think you could even put sexting in there as one. I think that if you're in a marriage relationship and you have sexual partners outside of that relationship, I believe that that would be one. I can go on and on, right? I think that I could even step off as a pastor and talk about gender neutrality, gender confusion. I think I could go into homosexual relationships, being non-binary. I can go on and on. You get my point of the things that we see in our world today. And Paul says, when we cross that line, as a believer, it becomes sin. And you have to remember who you are. You're the temple of God. And what you do with your body matters to God in a very big way as a Christ follower. Because your spirit and your body are one in the Lord for a believer. And what you do with your body, when we get into those types of situations, you do unto Christ. Do you realize that? So be careful of how you act, the things you do, the things you're a part of, because your body is a temple that the Holy Spirit lives in, you and I. Now here's the second truth I want to give you this morning. If you're a believer, you are God's. You belong to God. And thank goodness we do. But let me remind you of who this God is. Because sometimes I think we lose the fear of the God that we serve. So let me tell you about this Almighty God. All right? He's the creator of all things. He answers prayers. He's the covenant maker with Abraham that we still live under today. He's the giver of the laws. He's the giver of the kings. He's the blesser of the faithful. He was the Exodus planner for Israel. He's the sender of the prophets. He's the Red Sea parter. He's the sender of fire and rain. He provided water and manna. He's the keeper of the faith, and he's the keeper of promises. He's the destroyer of walls. He's the one who sent his own son. That's the Almighty God that we belong to. And for you and I to understand at a very deep level of who that is, that we should be in awe of who this God is. He's a God of forgiveness, of grace, of love. Especially in the midst of all the things that I've just talked about. The God who did all of these things, who watches over us still, is the God that Paul is speaking about in these verses this morning. And then we come across this word that I want to talk to you this morning. The last word in this phrase is temple. All right, and here's where I want to do a little more explaining. When Paul tells us that we are the temple of God, he's not telling us that we're the whole temple. Now, I want to do a little history lesson here. In the temple of God, you had the inner courts and the outer courts. You had the different gates that you'd come in. Picture this in your mind, a big courtyard, and only certain people could come so far into the temple, and others could go farther. And then in the center of the temple was called the Holy of Holies, right? It's enclosed, a small building, and inside that Holy of Holies, only the high priest was allowed to go in there. And in there you had the Ark of the Covenant. Now, if you know your history well, can you tell me what was in the Ark of the Covenant? Speak it louder. The Ten Commandments, right? You got a picture on your screen right here. And it was so holy that when the high priest went in, they tied a rope around the high priest's waist. In case he died, they could pull him back out. He was allowed to go in there once a year and offer prayers to God. And here's what I want you to see and understand. Look at the picture on the screen with me this morning. You'll see those angel-type figures with wings on top. Those are called cherubim. In the midst, in between the on top of the Ark of the Covenant, there are cherubim that were placed on top of that ark. And you'll see that glow in the top of that ark. And that's where the glory of God lived, inside the Holy of Holies. And so when that high priest went in, he was in the presence of God. And notice I read into you in the first book of Kings that the glory of God filled the place with the cloud that they could even do their work. And here's the point I want you to get and understand, that the Holy of Holies is now you. What does that say to you today, believer? The glory of God lives in you through the Holy Spirit. And do you think he cares what you do with your body? Remember the high priest once a year, rope tied around him in case he died because he was so close to God? By all means, God cares about what you do with your body. Because you are the temple of God and the Holy of Holies. You are the innermost sanctuary. You are bought with a price through Jesus Christ. And then when you give your life to Christ, God says, I will send my Spirit into your life. Because now you are the Holy of Holies, and I love you deeply, is what God says to you and I this morning. You are God's temple, and that miracle happens when you give your life to Christ, because your dead spirit that was cast into hell has now been brought to life and is filled with the Spirit, and one day will be with God in heaven in the Holy of Holies. Amen to that? Right? That's what it's about. You are a marvelous temple. A marvelous temple of God. That's who you are. So how does that encourage you this morning in your spiritual walk with God? How does that encourage your prayer life, knowing that the Spirit lives within you and you are the Holy of Holies, deeply loved by God? I hope that encourages you greatly this morning. That you're loved. That when you pray to God and you ask for forgiveness for all the things you've done wrong, that you're forgiven. But for you to deeply understand of who you are in Christ as the Holy of Holies. And you know that that same power that we talked about last week that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That's the power I'm talking about. But I think a lot of us don't understand the power of the Holy Spirit that he has to direct and guide our lives. So I got a little earthly example that I want to give you this morning. And so how many of you are into fast cars? This is called a Venom F5. It's an American-made car. It's the fastest car on the planet today. Street legal, by the way. It'll do 311 miles per hour. 1,216 horsepower, 0 to 60 in 2.1 seconds. You'll hit your head in the back of the seat when you hit the gas pedal. All right. By the way, it only costs $2.1 million. That's all it costs. But here's what I want you to understand: you need to realize that the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in you is like that car. It powers your faith life. It drives you. It counsels you. It guides you. And the deeper that you walk with God, the deeper your prayer life gets, the more filled with the Spirit that you get. Now remember, when I say filled with the Spirit, you're already full of the Spirit of God, by the way. It just depends how far and how much you're going to allow God and the Spirit to work in your life. But that's the power that you're tied to. The power that rose Jesus from the dead. In your faith walk. And when God says all things are possible, that's what I'm talking about. In your life. That's the power. So Paul says, that Holy Spirit lives in you. And here's something else I want to just talk about that Spirit a little bit this morning as you think of the temple of God and who you are. See, the Spirit doesn't want to be close to you. It doesn't want to be next to you. He wants to live and bring you life in you. And there's a difference in that, right? Some keep it at arm's length, not quite trusting. But God says, let that Spirit fill you and let that Spirit guide you in your walk. Let that power come to life. Let God take the wheel. You know, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God was given to some people at certain times, the prophets. God would speak to him, and he'd fill him with the Spirit, and other biblical characters, people we knew of, God would allow that Spirit to be poured out on certain people in certain areas, and God would speak through them, and he'd lead the people of Israel, and they had the whole sacrificial system and the temple worship and all that. And today, you need to know that when God gave Jesus Christ, and Christ says, I'm going to a place that you can't come to yet, but you'll come there someday, right? Speaking of heaven. And then he says, I'm going to send somebody that's more powerful than me, really. He's going to live with you every day. And that's called Pentecost, when he gave the Holy Spirit to everyone that's a believer in Jesus Christ. Everyone who asks and receives Christ as their Lord and Savior is given the Spirit of God in your life. Let me also just go a few other things I want to talk to you about this morning. You think about the Old Testament way where the Spirit of God was given to select people and not to others. I believe that there are still people that live that way today. The Jewish people in their day, they put God in a box, right? They could only worship in the temple. They had all these rules that they had to keep, and they just started confining God. You know, they come to worship on the Sabbath, which would have been Saturday. And sometimes I think we as Christians today, we might do the same thing. Right? When's our Sabbath? Sunday. We come to worship God on Sunday. And so we start to get this idea in our head that we go to meet God at church, and this is where we worship God on Sunday. And then we leave here, and we think that we can live the way we want to the rest of our lives. See, when we do that, we start to put God in a box, because we don't live with him throughout the rest of the days of the week. Right? And we need to be careful of that, because I think Paul says, don't live that way. They put God in a box, and you see it in 1 Kings as well. Let me go just a little bit deeper with you this morning. And if you have your outline with you, I don't know if I have this in my outline, but jot this down on it. The verse Acts 17, 24, and 25. I'm going to read this to you. Now remember, we sometimes like to put God in a box. Here is what is spoken of in Acts. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. God is not and cannot be localized into one spot. God is not confined to church on Sunday morning. God is not in a box. Some churches, some denominations put God in a box, and they say that their church is the only way. And anything outside of that, you will not find salvation. And I'm going to tell you this morning that that is a lie, because you cannot put God in a box. There are a lot of Bible-believing churches in the world today that God is bringing people to salvation through the Holy Spirit. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about this morning when I speak of those types of denominations, are those types of churches. And we have a few of them in our area. And I believe that that is a false teaching. Because God moves in so many miraculous ways, more than what you and I can comprehend or understand. In fact, let me say this statement to you this morning. God doesn't, and this, some of you are going to like cringe when I say this. See, God doesn't live in the church. God lives in his people who are the church. Right? That's what it's about. That's you and I. We're the church. That's where God lives. That's where God moves. That's where God works. And so as the temple, back to my phrase, temple is as temple does in your life. I think you leave here this morning, you're going to feel two ways. You're going to be really excited that you understand that you're the temple of God, or you're going to be ashamed thinking, oh, I need to do better. And I pray that if you're ashamed this morning, that you'll feel God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ, because we just talked about that last week, right? Through the resurrected Lord. But I want you to understand that he's with you in the good times. He's with you in the hard, difficult times and everywhere in between. That's where he's at. He's living with you. He's walking with you. And maybe some days you try to hide from him, but you can't hide from God. So we as the temple of God should then have the same things going on us as what the temple did back then. Do you get that? Do you understand me when I say that to you? The temple, there was worship going on. There was sacrifice going on. There was scripture being read. There was prayer going on. And so is that going on in your life? Because you are now the temple of God. Those things should be happening in your life. So here's my challenge for you this morning as I wrap up. What's going on in your temple? What's happening? What needs to change? What do you need to work on? What needs to improve? And maybe you're doing a really good job. So amen to you this morning. Keep that good work up inside your temple of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you've given us a lot of whole food this morning. As we look at our lives, Lord, remember that the grace of Jesus Christ is sufficient for all. Lord, you mentioned that in Scripture as we walk this life. Lord, some of us might be broken this morning, and some of us might be in a place that we shouldn't be. And Lord, may you call us from those places, and may you bless us, and may you forgive us. Lord, some of us are walking a pretty straight path with you, but yet maybe we have God in a box. Lord, may we unleash your power in our life as we live life here in this world. Lord, the people need to see how we live as Christians throughout the week. Lord, that's where they see your glory. It's easy here this morning to talk about you and to show our glory amongst ourselves. But Lord, what about those people on the outside that don't see God's glory, that aren't in a church every Sunday? Lord, they need to see how we live. And so may we be that example. May we be the temple of God to a world that's so broken. May you empower us. May you give us strength. Lord, may your spirit guide. So I pray for our families. I pray for our individual church members, our believers. Lord, may this prayer be heard in the Holy of Holies today. Lord, in your presence. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.